Okay, so what does Enmore, a sugar plantation in the Caribbean, bush rangers, croquet, and the Art Gallery of New South Wales have in common?
I have no idea.
Well, let me explain. So this is really a view into my mind and what happens when I go into the Dictionary of Sydney and start having a look at Sydney's history. So I started thinking about lo my local place.
Right.
And I live in the Inner West. And so I started thinking about, the neighborhood and some of the origins of the suburb names. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll have a look at Enmore and see what happens. And you might think that Enmore gets its name from the Enmore Theatre. That might make sense, but it actually predates that by absolutely ages. It is actually got its name, the suburb, from a large house called Enmore House. And that might not be surprising in itself. Lots of suburbs get their names from large villas or estates. But it was kind of interesting because the house was designed by quite a famous early architect called John Verge, and it was built in 1835 for this guy called Captain Sylvester Brown. Now, Brown was a master mariner in the East India Company, and East India Company, there were lots of people connected with that, lots of merchants and mariners connected with that in Sydney, and it was trading all through sort of India and the Caribbean. And so Brown named the house Enmore House after a sugar plantation in Barbados
Right.
in the West Indies that was owned by his business associate James Cavan.
Did he have a bit of a sweet tooth? Is that why? Sorry,
No,
it's couldn't help myself.
well, he could well have, but so Sylvester Brown and James Cavan were business partners, and Cavan was a merchant and slave owner who had this sugar plantation in Barbados, and Cavan named his estate on sugar plantation in the Caribbean after Enmore in Somerset, England. So this is how these names kind of
Right.
swirl around and move across the globe. So, 1835, Enmore House gets built, and I'm like, oh wow, Enmore House. I wonder what that looked like. So I then in the dictionary, I click on about Enmore House, and then there was this amazing photo of the grounds and gardens of Enmore House that show a posse of women playing croquet and archery. And it's like a really cool image. So we'll post it up on the blog so you can have a look at it. But it turns out that the photograph shows Joshua Josephson's nine daughters entertaining themselves in the late 1860s. And I was like, wow, nine
That's
daughters.
a lot. Busy
That's a
man.
lot. That's
Even
a lot.
busier wife, I would
Yeah.
imagine.
And not only did he have nine daughters, he had four sons as well. So
Oh,
I was like,
God.
man, who is this guy? He brought up his family at Enmore House after inheriting it from his father in 1845. Hadn't really heard of him. Thought he must have had a lot of money, so I thought I'd check him out. So Joshua Frey Josephson, that's his name, and I became obsessed. So
Bit of a
it all
fangirl.
started with Enmore House and nine daughters. And I soon found there was another connection of interest with to me because Joshua Josephson was an early alderman at Sydney City Council, and that's where I work. So he was a very early alderman in the 1840s. The municipal councils only started up in 1842, and he was actually the mayor of Sydney in 1848. And then he went on to serve as a New South Wales parliamentarian and was appointed as a district court judge. So he's a real sort of mover and shaker in early Sydney in the sort of 1840s, 50s, and 60s. And then I got even more fascinated because he's an accomplished musician. He played the piano and the flute, and as a younger man, he performed concerts at the Theatre Royal. He used to teach music before he became a solicitor. He actually met his first wife, the one who pumped out all the kids,
Ha
when he was teaching music, and he was also the first organist down at St. Peter's Church at Tempe. And I always get excited when there's a mention of a church that's connected to a cemetery, and St. Peter's Church and Cemetery down at Tempe is amazing. So I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So I'm sort of weaving my way through, and I'm going from Enmore across to St. Peter's at Tempe, and remembering how great the cemetery is there. And then I follow through some of his artistic interests, and this guy, Joshua Josephson, was a founder of the Society for the Promotion of Fine Arts, and he presented one of the first public art exhibitions in Sydney at the Australian Library, and he later went on to be involved in Australia's representation in the Paris International Exhibition in 1867. So he was quite involved in the art scene in Sydney. And Joshua Josephson lived at Enmore House from 1845 until 1883, and at 1883 he picked up stumps and moved over to Bellevue Hill and built himself an even bigger bigger mansion. I was going to say something rude there, but we're not going to say that. But a massive mansion in Bellevue Hill called St. Killian's. But during the time he lived at Enmore, you know, from the 1840s through to the 1880s, the whole area transformed from being this isolated hamlet to a real shopping strip with a steam tram running up Enmore Road. And it's because of his prominent house and his business connections that he became known as the Squire of Newtown, apparently. So I was just like, wow, the Squire of Newtown. Imagine strutting around, hey, I'm the Squire of Newtown. But he was a bit paranoid as well, because Enmore in the 1840s was like on the edge of civilization, and there were absconding convicts or bushrangers that would prey on the unwary. And apparently Josephson was the victim of an attack one evening, and it did leave him a little paranoid. It was said that his servants would shut and barricade every door and window of Enmore House at sunset, and that anyone wishing to enter or depart it had to do so by means of a ladder by an upstairs window.
No.
And then the ladder was withdrawn precisely at 10 o'clock at night, and the house remained basically under siege until morning, when they opened everything back up again. So
you wouldn't want to be there too late, right? You wouldn't want to be, having a dinner with him, and then you have to exit out the window, would you?
Exit out the window, back down a ladder after a tipple. Oh, that's pretty hard going.
Yeah, so, after finishing off a few whiskeys, that wouldn't be too easy.
You just sort of go, well, gosh, that seems pretty extreme. But you know, it wasn't the only house in Enmore that apparently had such strategies. Also, Mary Reby lived at Enmore House, Enmore, the village, in the 1840s, and her house as well apparently had tight security against sort of marauding convicts and bushrangers. And that apparently that her shutters were all fitted with iron bolts, that and there were secret bells and things on some of the shutters, so that, you know, it was basically a very early alarm system. So it was a bit of a out there place to be, Enmore, in the 1840s. But back to Joshua. I suppose he had a right to be a bit paranoid, because he was a solicitor and later a judge, and he owned a lot of property around Newtown and also in Lewisham, which is partly where it gets its name from Joshua Josephson as well. And he accumulated great wealth. And in pursuing his interest in the arts, he actually acquired quite a lot of artwork and statues from leading artists in Britain and Europe. And so when he died in 1892, he had an estate worth almost £170,000, which is a massive amount of money in 1892. And in his will, he left property to his wife and all of his children, including his daughters. And what's really interesting is that his daughters had control of the property that they were given.
Really?
It wasn't allowed to be controlled by their current or any future husband. It was theirs.
Well, that's quite unusual for the time, isn't it?
Yeah, quite enlightened. So that was really interesting to me. It's like, you're quite a progressive person in a way. And then, which is nice for his nine daughters, you know, because, you know, seeing your father with all this money and then not getting any or not being able to control any of that money that you might get. Yeah. So, but he also bequeathed five statues to the Art Gallery of New South Wales, including Hunter and the Dog by John Gibson, which is still on show in the Art Gallery today. And another significant proportion of his art collection was actually offered to the gallery for acquisition at bargain basement prices. So he was actually a really important philanthropist and bequeathed, you know, his significant part of his collection to the people of Sydney and New South Wales.
Jeez, so, it's amazing, isn't it? He's clearly a true patron of Sydney and the arts. But I think I love this story, but I love the fact that I've been able to follow your mind and the way that it works and now how you started off in Enmore and you've gone all over the world to Barbados and learned about all these incredible people and ended back at the Art Gallery of New South Wales where you can go and see something there. Lisa, thank you so much. You never disappoint.
It's a pleasure, Alex. Thanks for having us.